Perik Beis. Achar ha-devorim ho'eleh, after these events, kishoich chamas ha-melech ha-chashverosh, when the king's anger subsided, zochar es Vashti, he remembered Vashti ve'es asher ososo, and what she did by refusing to come to the king, ve'es asher nigzar oleho, and what was decreed upon her to be killed. He was saddened after having realized that her refusal to appear before him was justified, and the decree against her was wrong. Zogt Rashi, Posuk Aleph, Zohar es Vashti, he remembered Vashti, es Yofya, he remembered her beauty, v'netzav, and he was saddened that she was killed. So the simple meaning of the Posuk is, es asher asasa, what she did to Achashverosh, v'es asher nigzar aleha, and what was decreed upon her by Achashverosh to be killed. However, the Gemara Megillah says that this is referring to the Midah k'neged Midah, for Vashti's sin against the Jewish girls. Es asher asasa is referring to what she did by stripping the Jewish girls naked and making them work on Shabbos. Ve'es asher nigzar aleho, and what was decreed upon her by Hashem to be punished midah k'neged midah, that she should be summoned to appear naked on Shabbos before the king. So according to the Gemara's pshat, Es asher asasa is referring to what Vashti did to the Jewish girls. Ve'es asher nigzar aleho is referring to what Hashem decreed midah k'neged midah that should be done back to Vashti. And the pasuk continues, pasuk beis, Vayomru narei hamelech mishorsav, and the young attendants of the king said, Yivakshu lamelech, let the king seek ne'orois besulois, young maidens, toiveis mare, beautiful in appearance. In Sefer Monos HaLevi, he tells us who these Na'arei HaMelech Mishorosav were. Because until now, Achashverosh would ask advice from his advisors. Like it says in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and Pasuk Yud Dalet, that he had seven advisors who used to advise him on all matters. However, after having Vashti killed, when he was drunk, when he sobered up, he began to ask for her. Upon learning that she had been put to death, he was very upset because the punishment was unjustified. And therefore, he put to death those advisors that advised him to kill Vashti. And from then on, the advisors were only the young men who were simple servants. And those were the Na'arei HaMelech Mishorsav. And that is why they gave the simple advice that the king should look at only beauty. Yivakshu Na'orois Besulois Toivois Mare. Look for beautiful women without giving any consideration to any other character or Mila. And in Sefer V'dibarta Bom, he asks, if the advisors were killed, we know that Memuchan, Haman, was one of these seven advisors. So how was Haman still alive? And he explains that Haman was indeed hung together with the other advisors. But miraculously, he fell down from the gallows alive. And the law in Persia was that when a person was hung publicly and fell off the gallows, he could never be hung again for that same crime. And therefore, Haman was speared from the death penalty that the other advisors were killed for. And how were they to find these Na'arois Besulois Toivois Mare? The pasuk continues, V'yafket ha-melech pekidim, let the king appoint officials, b'chol medinos malchusai, in all the provinces of his kingdom, because every official knows the beautiful women of his area. V'yikpitzu, and they should gather as kol Na'aro Besula, every young maiden, Toivois Mare, beautiful in appearance, El Shushan Habira, to Shushan the capital, El Beis Hanoshim, to the house where the women were supposed to be, El Yad Hege, in the custody of Hege, Siris HaMelech, who was the officer of the king, Shomer Hanoshim, the overseer of the women, the Nosoin Tamru Kehem, and let cosmetics be given to them. Zokt Rashi V'yafket HaMelech Pekidim, and let the king choose officials, Lefisha Kol Pokid Upokid, because every official, Yudueslai, knows Noshim Hayofois, the beautiful women, Shebe Medinosai, that are in his province. Therefore, choose officials from each and every province, because they are more familiar with the beautiful women of their area. And you should give them Tamru Kehem, their cosmetics, Hein Dvarim Hametzachsachin, they are things that cleanse, Kumay Umayrak Vishutaf, like it says in Parashas Sav, if a carbon becomes absorbed in a kli, in a vessel, you must clean out the vessel, Umayrak, you cleanse it, Vishutaf, and rinse it. So we see Mayrak means to cleanse. So too over here, Tamru Kehen are different things that are used to cleanse the skin. Shemen, Orev, perfumed oils, Umine Samonim, and various ingredients, uvisamim and spices, hametaharim that cleanse, umaadnin es habosor and smooth out the skin. And the Gemara in Megillah tells us that there was a difference between the way Achashverosh chose his wife and the way David HaMelech did. Because by David HaMelech, it also says that he sent his servants to look for a Na'ara Bisula. However, over there, he only took one. So whoever had a daughter brought her to the king, because each one wanted his daughter to be chosen for the king. However, Achashverosh told his servants to gather all the maidens, and he would live with all of them, and only one would be chosen. So in effect, all the maidens would have been violated, save one. Therefore, whoever had a daughter hid from Achashverosh. And the Medrash in Parsha Hey Ois Gimel says that the Persian women were subjected to such humiliation because they used to embarrass the Jewish girls, calling them ugly, and saying that nobody will pay attention to them and they would be rejected. Mida keneged mida, Hashem caused them to be rejected in favor of a Jewish girl. And Pasuk Dalet continues, after gathering all the Noshim in the Beis HaNoshim, V'hanaro asher tita be'eni ha-melech, and the girl that will be the most pleasing in the eyes of the king, Timloch Tachas Vashti, will rule instead of Vashti, Vayitav Hadover Be'eni HaMelech, and this suggestion was viewed favorably in the eyes of the king, Vayas Kain, and he did like this, he followed their advice. Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Abiro, there was a Jewish man who lived in Shushan, the capital, Ushmoy Mordechai, and his name was Mordechai, Ben Yair, the son of Yair, Ben Shimi, the son of Shimi, Ben Kish, the son of Kish, Ish Shemini, a man from Shevet Binyamin. And Rashi is bothered by the Gemara's question that there seems to be a contradiction in this Pasuk. On one hand, the Pasuk starts off, Ish Yehudi, there was a man, Yehudi, that seems like it is saying that he's from Shevet Yehuda. And the Pasuk ends off, Ish Yemini, that he was from Shevet Binyamin. And therefore Rashi explains that really Mordechai was from Shevet Binyamin. Just he was called Ish Yehudi al Shelgola im Golos Yehuda, because he went into exile together with the kings of Yehuda. Kol Oisen Shelgolu im Malchi Yehuda, all those that went into Golos with the kings of Yehuda, Hayukruyim Yehudim ben Hagoyim, they were called Yehudim amongst the nations. Vafilu mi shevet achrahem, even if they were from another shevet. So Grashi ish Yemini, mi binyamin haya, he was from shevet binyamin. Just he was called ish Yehudi, because he went into exile with the kings of Yehuda. Kach pishutai, that is the simple meaning of the pasuk. V'rabbeisenu dorshu mashe dorshu, and our chachamim in Masecht Megillah explained differently. And among the answers that are said there is that he was called ish Yehudi, because he was kofer b'avodah zarah, and one who is kofer in avodah zarah is called a Yehudi. So this pshat also agrees that he was from Shevet Binyamin, just he was called Ish Yehudi because he was a kofer b'avodah zarah. A second pshat the Gemara says over there is that his mother was from Shevet Yehuda and his father was from Shevet Binyamin. And Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz in Sefer Yaris Devash asks on this pshat, why does the Megillah tell us which Shevet he was from his mother's side? Regarding all laws of the Torah, each Jew belongs to the Shevet of his father's side. So why is it important to tell us that Mordechai was from Shevet Yehuda from his mother's side? And Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz answers that Yaakov had two wives, and the Medrash tells us that Rachel's descendants will destroy Amalek, and Leah's descendants will destroy the other nations. And so it will be in the future. First, Mashiach ben Yosef will come, who was from Rachel, and destroy Amalek, followed by a second Mashiach from Shevet Yehuda, a son of Leah, who will destroy the other nations. Long before Mordechai, Shaul HaMelech was slightly negligent in fulfilling the command to destroy Amalek. He was slow to kill Agag, the leader of Amalek, and this delay allowed Agag to father a son, who Haman was a descendant of. Now, if only Agag remained from Amalek, his son must have married a woman from another nation, other than Amalek. As a result, only on his father's side was Haman a descendant of Amalek, but on his mother's side, he was a descendant from another nation. Based on what we said before, that Rachel's descendants will destroy Amalek, and Leah's descendants will destroy the other nations, Mordechai had to be from both Rachel and Leah to destroy Haman. That is why the Pasuk says that he was Ish Shemini and Ish Yehudi. From Mordechai's father's side, he was from Shevet Binyamin, Rachel's child. Therefore, he was able to destroy Haman from his father's side, Amalek. And he was also from Yehuda, Leah's son, on his mother's side, enabling him to destroy Haman's mother's side, which was from the other nations. And the Gemara in Megillah asks that if the Pasuk wants to tell us the lineage of Mordechai, then it should go all the way back to Binyamin. Why does it only say Ben Yoreh, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ish Yemini from Shevet Binyamin? It should go all the way back, Ben Achar Ben, till it reaches Binyamin. Why does it stop short? And furthermore, the Marsha asks that the Pasuk is not really telling us the complete lineage, because it says Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, the son of Shimi, the son of Kish. Shimi was not the son of Kish, but rather a descendant of Kish, which means that the Pasuk is not telling us all the generations. So what is the purpose why it says just these names? Therefore, the Gemara darshins that all these names are referring to Mordechai himself. Ben Yair is Ben Sheheir, a name Shel Yisrael B'tfilasai. He was called Ben Yair is because Yair is an expression of light, and he was the one who lit up the eyes of Klal Yisrael with his tefillah. Ben Shimi, he was the son whose tefillahs were heard from a lashon of Shema. Ben Kish, Kish is a lashon of Hikish, to knock, because he knocked on the gates of mercy and they were opened for him. So all these three names, Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, are all referring to Mordechai himself. So we see from that Gemara that all these names in the Pasuk are referring to Mordechai's power of tefillah. And there is an interesting medrash in Parsha Zayin Ois Yud Ches that relates how Eliyahu ran to Moshe Rabbeinu in Shemayim and asked him, how will you respond to the trouble that Klal Yisrael is having in Shushan in the time of Achashverosh? And Moshe Rabbeinu answered Eliyahu, is there a tzaddik who is living in those times? And Eliyahu answered, yes, and his name is Mordechai. So Moshe told him, let Mordechai daven on earth, and I will daven above in Shemayim at the same time. So we see it was not only Mordechai's tefillahs that saved Klal Yisrael, but it was also Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs at the same time. And the Chidah finds a hint to this in our Pasuk, because the Gematria, the numerical value of Ish Yehudi, is 346, and the numerical value of Moshe is 345, and if you count the word Moshe itself, it also equals to 346. So Ish Yehudi, which is Mordechai, is equivalent to Moshe, because both of them davened together to save Klal Yisrael in those times. According to the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Samachei Amud Aleph, Mordechai had another name, and that name was Pesachia. And there is an interesting Medrash Pliya that says that a hint to Mordechai's second name, Pesachia, can be found in the Pasuk in Iyuv, Perik Ches, Pasuk Zayin, which says, V'hoya reshischa mitzar, your beginning will be small, V'achwisecha yiske ma'oid, yet your end will greatly increase. How are we to understand the connection between that Pasuk and the names Mordechai and Pesachia? And Rav Shimshon Miastropoli answers that if you take half of the numerical value of the first three letters of the name Pesachia, that is, if you take half of pei equaling 80, if you take half of that, that is 40, which is mem, the first letter of Mordechai. The second letter of Pesachia is suf, 400. If you take half of that, that's 200, resh, the second letter in Mordechai. And if you take half of the ches in the name Pesachia, which has the numerical value of 8, half of that is 4, which is the third letter of Mordechai's name, Dalet. So far we have Mem Reish Dalet, which is half of the first three letters of Pesach Ches in the name Pesachia. Now there are two letters left, the Yud and the He of the name Pesachia. If you double the numerical value of those letters, which means the Yud, which is 10, you double it and you have Chaf, 20. That is the Chaf in Mordechai's name. And if you take the Hey, the last letter in Pesachia's name, which is 5, and you double that, then you will have Yud, which is 10, the last letter in Mordechai's name. And that is the Pshat in the Pasuk in Iyuv. V'hoya reshischa mitzar, and it will be your beginning, will be small, which means the first three letters of Pesachia, you take half of the numerical value. And v'achwisecha yiske ma'oid, your end will greatly increase, which means the last two letters, you double. And that is how we see a connection between the name Pesachia and the name Mordechai.
And in Sefer Sifsei Chachamim, in his Akdama to Masechet Megillah, he explains that Shushan HaBira was the capital of Achashverosh's kingdom. Near it was a suburb known also as Shushan, and the two cities were separated by a river. It was forbidden for the Jews to live in the capital city, but they were permitted to live in the city of Shushan. Therefore, when the Megillah talks about Achashverosh or Achashverosh's decrees, Shushan HaBira, Shushan the capital, is mentioned. However, when the Megillah talks about the Jewish people, the Pasuk speaks about Ha'ir Shushan, the city of Shushan. Because of the Yad Hashem, Mordechai was the only Jew who happened to be living in the capital in Shushan HaBira, and he was highly respected. And thanks to this, he had access to the king's palace and was able to overhear the conversation of Bigson and Seresh, which eventually brought about the downfall of Haman and the miracle of Purim. And that is why the Pasuk says, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBira. There was only one Jew that lived in Shushan, the capital. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Vav, Asher Hogla Mirushalayim, Mordechai, who had been exiled from Yerushalayim, Im HaGoyla Asher Hoglasa, along with the exiles who had been exiled in Yechonya Melech Yehuda, with Yechonya, the king of Yehuda, Asher Hegla Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, had placed into exile. And the Mefarshim explain that the Lashon of Asher Hogla means that he caused himself to go into Golus. He was not forced. And the Maharitz Dushinsky learns that Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yechonya and the Sanhedrin. And Mordechai felt no reason to remain in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael without the Chachamim is like a body without a soul. And therefore he left by choice. The Teferet Shloimei offers another pshat, and he says that Mordechai went into self-exile before the rest of the people, in order to establish an atmosphere of Kedusha in Persia, so that the Jews could survive in Golus over there. He followed the example of Yaakov, who sent Yehuda first to Mitzrayim, ves Yehuda Sholach Lefanov, in order that Yehuda can sow the seeds of holiness, which enabled Klal Yisrael to survive in the Golus. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Zayin, Vayihi Oymen Es Hadasa, and Mordechai raised Hadasa, he Esther, Hadasa is Esther, Bas Doidoi, the daughter of Mordechai's uncle, Mordechai's first cousin, Ki Ein Lo Avo Ein, because Esther did not have a father nor a mother. V'hanaro Yifas Toyar V'Tervas Mara, and the Naro was very beautiful. As Rashi explains the difference between Yifas Toyar and Tervas Mara in Parshas Vayetze, when it says the same Lashon about Rachel, and Yifas Toyar, he explains, is beautiful features, and Tervas Mara refers to the luster of the skin. Uvamoisa via ve'ima, and when her father and her mother died, when Esther's father and mother died, Lekocha Mordechai Loi Lebas. Mordechai took her and raised her like a daughter. And the Gemara is bothered that if the Pasuk meant to say that Mordechai adopted Esther like a daughter, it should have said, Lekocha Mordechai Loi Kibas, that he took her like a daughter. Why does it say Libas? Therefore, the Gemara says, as Rashi brings down, Rabbi Seinu Pirshu, Libayis. Do not read it Libas, but rather Libayis. He took her into her house, which means Leisha, he married her. And that is also why the Pasuk says, Lekocha Mordechai Loi Libas. It uses an expression of Lekicha, taking, which is an expression that is used by Kiddushin, by marriage, as the Pasuk says, Ki Yikach Ish Isha. And the Gemara also explains that when it says Uvimoisa via Vima, that her father and mother died, it means that her father died before her birth and her mother died at her birth. So she really never had any parents. And that's why the Pasuk says, Ki ein lo avo aim. She never had a father nor a mother. And we see in the Pasuk over here that Esther had two names. She was known as Esther and Hadassah. And there is a difference of opinion among the Chachamim in Masechta Megillah, whether Hadassah was her proper name and Esther was added later, or vice versa. Rav Meir learns her name was Esther, but she was called Hadassah because Tzadikim are referred to as Hadassim, because of the pleasing aroma of the Hadass. Ben Azai also learns that her name was Esther, and she was called Hadassah for a different reason, because she was of average height, like a Hadass branch. As the Marsha explains, that we find when Chana davened for a child, she asked for a child that would be Zera Anoshim, as the Gemara explains in Brachas Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, to mean a child normal among men, And one of the characteristics listed over there is that he should not be too tall nor too short. So we see from there that being of average height is a positive feature. And Esther had that feature and was therefore called Hadas, because the Hadas branch is of average height. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha also learns that her name was Esther, but she was called Hadassah because she had a green complexion like a Hadas branch. And the Vilna Gaon explains that Esther was in fact beautiful, but as a result of the pain she experienced by being taken to the palace of Ahasuerus, she developed a greenish complexion. But the Gemara says, Chut shel chesed moshuch aleho. A touch of grace was placed on her by Hashem, which made her appear beautiful in the eyes of the nations and in the eyes of Ahasuerus. Then the Gemara brings down another two opinions who learn the other way, that Hadassah was really her name, and she was called Esther for different reasons. According to one man, the Omar, she was called Esther because Esther comes from the expression Sahara, which in Aramaic means the moon, because she was as beautiful as the moon. Rabbi Yehuda learns that she was referred to as Esther because Masteres Divoreho. Esther means to hide, and she hid her words. She concealed the facts about her origin, not revealing that she was Jewish. We mentioned before that when the Pasuk says Lebas, we should not read it Lebas, but rather Lebayis, which means that Mordechai married Esther. Why, in fact, doesn't the Pasuk write straight out Bayis? Why does it write Bas? And in Sefer V'Dibarta Tabom, he brings down a pshat based on the Gemara in Ksubis Nun Tes Amud Beis that says that the purpose and the desire of a woman is three things: Bonim, children; Yoifi, beauty; and Tachshitim, jewelry. The first letter of Bonim is Beis, the first letter of Yoifi is Yud, and the first letter of Tachshitim is Tuf, spelling the word bias. We mentioned earlier the Gemara that says that Esther was of a greenish complexion, like a Hadas. However, Chut shel chesed moshuch aleho, Hashem placed on her a touch of kindness, which made her appear beautiful in the eyes of Ahasuerus and in the eyes of the people. Therefore, the Pasuk says concerning Esther, Bas, because of the three main characteristics of an Isha, Esther lacked the Yud, she lacked the Yoifi. She only had the Beis and the Tuf, the Bonim and the Tachshitim. But our Chachamim Darshin, Al Tikri Bas Elobayis, add the Yud back, add the Yoifi back. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moshuch Chut Shel Chesed Oleho, he placed a touch of kindness on her, bringing back the Yoifi in the eyes of Ahasuerus and the nation. And we mentioned that Mordechai and Esther were first cousins. As the Pasuk says, He Esther Bas Doidai. This was Esther, the daughter of his uncle, the daughter of Mordechai's uncle. Mordechai was the son of Yair, Mordechai ben Yair ben Kish. And the Pasuk says later on in Perek Beis, Pasuk Tesvav, that Esther was Bas Avichael, the daughter of Avichael, making Avichael and Yair brothers. Mordechai was the son of Yair, and Esther was the daughter of Avichael, making them first cousins. And that's what it means that Esther was Bas Doidai. She was the daughter of Mordechai's uncle, the daughter of Avichael, who was Mordechai's uncle. However, we do find in the Rishonim and in some Midrashim that Mordechai was called the uncle of Esther. If you look in Perek Ches Pasuk Aleph in the Ibn Ezra, when the Pasuk says, Ki higida Esther mahula, when Esther told Ahasuerus how Mordechai was related to her, the Ibn Ezra says, Shehu doida, that he was her uncle. And we find this expression in other places too, and we must understand what the makar, where the origin of this is, because the simple meaning in the Pasuk seems to say that they were first cousins. The Bereshis Rabbah in Parsha Lamed, Ois Tes, tells us, when Hadassah was a baby, in order to get milk for her, Mordechai once went out ready to ask for help from any nursing woman in the area. However, he was not able to find anybody. Therefore, he nursed the infant himself. As Rabbi Vo explains, that a nes happened that Mordechai was able to nurse Esther. And one day when Rabbi Vo was expounding on this idea publicly, his Talmidim were laughing at this idea. And he answered them that this is a Beferish Mishnah in Machshirim, Perik Vav, Mishnah Zayin, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer said that the milk of a male is permissible to drink. So we see that this concept, this idea, is possible. The Rokeach points out that normally the Hebrew for his uncle is spelled with four letters, Doidoi, Dalet Vav, Dalet Vav. However, over here in this Pasuk,
Doidai is only spelled with three letters, Dalet, Dalet, Vav. The word Dad in Hebrew means a breast, so that Doidai in this Pasuk does not only mean his uncle, but also Dadai, his breast, hinting to the Nais that since Esther did not have a mother, Bas Dadai, Mordechai himself, was able to nurse Esther. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Ches, Vayehi bihi shoma devar hamelech v'dasai. And it was when it became heard, it was made public, the word of the king and his law. Uvihi kaveis na'oreis rabois, and a large number of young women were gathered el Shushan Habira to Shushan the capital, el Yad Hegoi, under the custody of Hegoi. Vatilokach Esther al beis hamelech, and Esther was taken by force to the king's palace, el Yad Hegai, under the custody of Hegai, Shomer Hanoshim, the overseer of the women. And it is interesting to note that the name Hegai has two different punctuations in this pasuk. First, it says El Yad Hegoi with a comets, and then it says El Yad Hegai with a pasuk. Grammatically, this is not an issue, because when the trop is an esnachta or a seif pasuk, a comets is placed instead of another nakuda. And we find this many times, Shemen, Shomen, Mitzrayim, Mitzroyim, Peretz, Poretz, Zerach and Zorach. So here too, Hegai becomes Hegoi by the esnachta of the pasuk. However, in Sefer Nachal Eshkoil, he explains Biderach Drush. Kometz in Hebrew means to close, as in the Lashon of Kemoitz Picha, close your mouth. Pasach is from a Lashon of Pesicha, which means to open. Each of the girls that came before Achashverosh hoped that she would be chosen and the admission would be closed to all her rivals. Esther, on the other hand, hoped that the admission would remain open so that she would not be chosen. The beginning of the pasuk that speaks about all the other girls, as it says, Uvihi kovets na'orois rabois, says Hegoi with a comets, alluding to the fact that they wanted the admission to be closed and they should be chosen. The end of the pasuk, which discusses Esther, as it says, Vatilokach Esther, says Hegai with a pasuk, because she wanted the doors to remain open for all to be accepted, and that she should not be chosen. Pasuk Tes, Vatitav Hanaro Be'enov, and the girl, Esther, was pleasing in his eyes. Esther was pleasing in the eyes of Hegai. Vatiso Chesed Lefonov, and she found favor before him. Vayivahel, and he rushed as Tamrukeho Ves Monoiseho Losislo. He rushed to give her Tamrukeho, her cosmetics, Ves Monoiseho, and her portions of food. Ve'es sheva hana'orois, and the seven attendants, haru'uyes losis lo mibeis hamelech, that were fit to be provided for her from the king's palace. Vayishaneho, and he acted differently toward her. He gave her preferential treatment. Vayishaneho vesna'aroiseho l'toiv, he treated her and her maidens better than the rest of the women. Beis hanoshim, in the house of the women. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in a Sefer Taimed Ukro, points out that the word Tamrukeho is written mole, full, with a yud between the letter kuf and hey. However, Monoiseho is written choser, lacking, spelled without the yud between the letter tuf and the letter hey. He explains that that is because she was able to use her cosmetics. Therefore, it is written mole, Tamrukeho with a yud. However, concerning the portions of food, she was not sure if they were kosher, and therefore could not eat them. The portions were lacking to her, and therefore, Moneseho is written choser, lacking, missing the yud. Zokt Rashi posuk tes, vayivahel es tamrukeho, and he rushed to give her cosmetics. Zoriz umemar bishalo, he rushed to give her cosmetics. Mishal kulam, more than he rushed to give the other women. Haru'uyais laseisla, the seven attendants that were fit to be given to her, lisharsa, to serve her. Vechein oisin lekulon, and so did all the other women also receive these seven attendants. V'rabbeisenu darshu masha darshu, and our chachamim in Masechta Megillah explain differently. And that is, the Gemara is bothered, what is the purpose in mentioning how many maids Esther had? And secondly, the pasuk says, haru'uyais laseisla, the seven maids that were fit to be provided for her, which seems to mean that others did not need these seven maids. Therefore, the Gemara explains that Esther would count the days of the week through these maids to keep track which day was Shabbos. Her seven maids worked in rotation, each one assigned to a specific day of the week. Therefore, when the Shabbos maid arrived, She knew it was Shabbos. In Sefer Yaris Devash, he explains differently. Esther did not want the maids to realize that she was Jewish and did not work on Shabbos. She accomplished this by assigning each maid a different day of the week. Those who were with her during the week did not see that she rested on Shabbos. The Shabbos maid assumed that just like she did not work on Shabbos, she probably did not work the rest of the week. Zok Rashi Vayishaneho, Shina Oisa, he changed her. He treated her differently than the other women. And in what way did he treat her differently? The Gemara explains that Rav says he fed her kosher foods. But we must understand, at this point, Esther had been hiding the fact that she was Jewish. So how could she have asked for kosher food? Ben Yehoyada explains that everyone knew that Esther grew up in Mordechai's house. However, they assumed that he found her and adopted her, and they still did not know which nation she was from. Esther told them that she wanted kosher food because she was accustomed to it, and changing her diet might affect her beauty. Another explanation, says the Ben Yehoyada, is that it was known that kosher food was healthier than non-kosher food, and Esther therefore requested the healthier kosher food. Shmuel argues with Rav and says that Haggai treated her better by feeding her fatty hog bacon, which was considered a delicacy. According to Rashi Masechta Megillah, Esther was not punished for this, since she was forced to eat it. However, Tosfos learns that Esther did not eat this non-kosher meat that was offered to her by Haggai. And the pasuk continues, pasuk Yud, Loi higida Esther, Esther did not tell es ama ves mailarato, the identity of her people and her lineage. She guarded this secret for 9 years until Haman's downfall in the 12th year of Ahasuerus's reign. Ki Mordechai tziva aleho ashalai sagid, because Mordechai commanded her not to tell. Zakrashi, why couldn't she tell the identity of her people and her lineage? Kadeshi yomru, in order that people should say shehimi mishpacha bezuya, that she is from a disgraceful family. Vishal chuha, and they would send her away. Shem yedu shehimi mishpacha Shaul HaMelech, because if they would know that she was from the prestigious family of Shaul HaMelech, hoyumach zikimba, they would have kept her. So Rashi learns that Mordechai was afraid that if Ahasuerus would have known who Esther was, he definitely would have kept her because of her royal lineage. Others learn that Mordechai was worried that Ahasuerus would have killed Esther after having found out that she was Jewish due to his hatred of the Jews, or he would have kept her alive and tried to convince her to give up her religion. And that is why Mordechai told her not to say her lineage. And the pasuk continues, pasuk Yud Aleph, Uvechol yoim v'yoim, and every day Mordechai mishalech lefnei chatzar beis hanoshim. Mordechai would walk about before the courtyard of the house of the women. Vodas ha-shalom Esther, to know the welfare of Esther, Uma yeyoseba, and what was being done to her. And Rashi is bothered, what is the lashon Uma yeyoseba, what is being done to her? So Rashi ze'echad mishnei tzadikim, Mordechai was one of the two tzaddikim, Sheniten Lohem Remez Yeshua, that was given to them a hint that the salvation will come in the future. And these two tzaddikim were David and Mordechai, David and Mordechai. David, where do we find that David was given a Remez Yeshua? Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, when David was trying to convince Shaul HaMelech to let him fight against Goliath, he said, Gam Esariv Gam Adoiv Hiko Avdecho, your servant David HaMelech was able to kill an Ari, a lion, and a Doiv, a bear. Omar, David HaMelech said, Loi bo li yodi dover zeh, this incident did not happen to me, Ela lismaych olav, only to rely upon it, lihilochim in zeh, to fight with Goliath. David saw this remez, that he killed the lion and the bear, as a hint for the future that he is capable of killing Goliath. V'chein, and so we find over here with Mordechai. Mordechai Omar, Mordechai said, Lo'irul tzadekes zu shetilokach lemishkav oril. This tzadekes Esther was not put in this predicament to be taken to live with a goy. Ela shasita lokum lo'ishia liyisrael, only in order that in the future she will be the one to save Klal Yisrael by being in that position. Leficha choye mechazer. Therefore Mordechai was walking about, lo'das ma'yehe b'soifo, to know what will be the end. So Mordechai was the second person that saw a Remez Yeshua. The hint for salvation was by the fact that Esther was taken to the king's palace. It must be that Hashem was positioning Esther in close proximity to the king so that she will be able to influence him on behalf of the Jews. And that is why the Pasuk says, Lodas Eshalim Esther. Mordechai wanted to know the welfare of Esther. And then it continues, Uma Yeoseba. What is being done to her? What danger is threatening the Jews that would require her intervention? And the Maharit Tushinsky asks, why does the Pasuk use the word Mishalech, which means he made himself walk, as opposed to the simple word Hoylech, that means to walk? And he answers that although Mordechai visited daily in order to check on Esther's welfare because he was deeply concerned about her, he was careful to conceal all this because he did not want anyone to suspect that he was related to her. Therefore, every day, Mordechai made it seem that he was passing by Esther's quarters for some other reason. Each day, he would invent some other reason for being in the area. That is why it says, Mishalech, he made himself walk. He acted as if he had to be there for another reason. Pasuk Yud Beis, Uvahagia Tor Naira V'Naira. And when it reached the time of every girl, Lavoi El HaMelech HaChashverosh, to come to the King HaChashverosh, Miketz HaYoislo Kedos HaNoshim, at the end of the time that was prescribed for the women, which was 12 Chodesh, 12 months, Ki Ken Yimlu Yimei Merukehen, because that was the prescribed length for their cosmetics. Shisho Chadoshim B'Shemen Hamor, for 6 months they smeared themselves with Shemen Hamor, which the Gemara calls Shemen Anpekinun, which is oil taken from olives which did not attain 1/3 of their normal growth, and they would smear this on their skin because it removes the hair and causes the skin to glow. So for 6 months they used Shemen Hamor, V'shisho Chadoshim B'Besomim U'V'Samruke HaNoshim, and for 6 months they used spices and other feminine cosmetics. So Rashi, Tor, Zman. It means the time, when it reached the time for each girl to come. U'Vazeh HaNa'ara Bo'o El HaMelech, and with this the girl came to the king, Eis Kol Asher Toymar Yinosein Lo Lova Ima. Anything she said, anything she wanted, she was able to bring with her to accompany her, mi beis hanoshim, from the house of the women, ad beis hamelech, to the house of the king. So Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel, kol asher toymar, anything she said, she can bring to accompany her, kol schoik, any entertainment, umine zemer, and any type of music. Pasuk Yud Dalet, bo erev hi vo'o, in the evening the girl would come, uva boiker hi shovo, and in the morning she would return, El Beis HaNoshim Sheni, to a second house of the women, El Yad Shashkaz. This was under the charge of Shashkaz, Siris HaMelech, the king's servant, Shoimer HaPilakshim, the overseer of the Pilakshim, of the concubines. As the Ben Ezra explains, after having lived with the king, it would not be proper for them to marry other men. They therefore were required to return to the second Beis HaNoshim and remain there for the rest of their lives as Pilakshim, as concubines of the king. Loisavoi oid el hamelech, they would not appear again to the king, ki im chafetz bo hamelech v'nikro b'shem, unless the king wanted her and would call her by name. Zok Rashi Pasuk Yudalid, el beis hanoshim sheni, what it means is, el beis hanoshim hasheni, to the second beis hanoshim, which was under the charge of Shashkaz. And from the fact that the Pasuk says, bo erev hi vo'o, that the women would come at night, uva boiker hi shavo, and they would return in the morning. The Gemara says, Mignusai shel oisa rasha, from the disgraceful behavior of this rasha Achashverosh, lomanu shivchoi, we can learn a positive aspect about him. Sheloi hoya mishamish mitosi bayoim, that he would not have relations during the day. As the Gemara Nida says, that one should not be mishamish mitosi bayoim. Pasuk tesvov, uva hagia tor Esther, and when it reached the time of Esther, Esther who was Bas Avichael, the daughter of Avichael, Doit Mordechai, Avichael who was the uncle of Mordechai. As we explained earlier, Mordechai's father was Yair, and Yair's brother was Avichael. So Avichael was the uncle of Mordechai. Avichael had a daughter Esther, making Mordechai and Esther first cousins. Asher Lokach Loi Levas, Mordechai who adopted Esther like a daughter, when it reached her turn, Lavei El HaMelech, to come to the king, Lo Viksha Davar, Esther did not request anything. Ki Em Es Asher Yomar Hegai Siris HaMelech Shomer HaNoshim. Only what Hegai, the servant of the king, the overseer of the Noshim, would tell her to bring with her. Vatehi Esther Noises Chein Be'enei Kol Royeho. And Esther found favor in the eyes of anyone who saw her. As the Gemara says, Shelechol Echod Ve'echod Nidmesa Loi Ku'umasai. She appeared to each person as a member of his own nation, because a person generally finds members of his own nation to be the most appealing. And that is how Esther appeared to each and every person, as if she was someone from their own nation. And in Sefer Monos HaLevi, he asks, why is Esther's father's name mentioned for the first time over here? And also, why is the fact that Mordechai adopted Esther repeated at this point? And the Monos HaLevi answers, it is to let us know that precisely because she was aware of her background, that she was the daughter of Avichael and the wife and cousin of Mordechai, that she did not request any artificial beauty aids, hoping not to find favor in the eyes of Ahasuerus and to be returned to her prestigious family. And the Vilna Gaon points out that the trop in Pasuk Yud Beis, when the Pasuk is speaking about when it came the turn for all the girls to come, it says, Uvahagia tor na'aro v'na'aro. The trop on na'aro v'na'aro is kadmo v'yazla. However, in Pasuk Tesvav, when it reached the turn of Esther, Uvahagia tor Esther, the trop is munach. And the Gaon explains that kadma v'yazla means to get up early and move. Munach means resting. All the other girls were excited and ran eagerly for the chance to be chosen as queen. Esther, on the other hand, had absolutely no interest in this, and she went slowly without any excitement. Therefore, by the other girls, na'aro v'na'aro, it says kadma v'yazla. They got up and ran. However, by Esther, uvahagia tar Esther, it says munach, which means she rested and went reluctantly. And the pasuk continues, pasuk tezayin, vatilokach Esther el melech Achashverosh, and Esther was taken to the king Achashverosh, el beis malchusai, to his royal palace, b'chodesh ho'asiri, in the 10th month, hu chodesh teves, which is the month of teves, b'shnas sheva l'malchusai, in the 7th year of Achashverosh's reign. Zok Rashi, b'chodesh ho'asiri, this happened in the 10th month, Eis Tzina, this is the cold season, Shehaguf Nena Min Haguf, when one body enjoys the warmth of another body. Zimin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oisei Eis Tzina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Esther's turn to fall out in the cold season, Kedei L'chabava Olav, in order to raise her chances that Achashverosh would like her better and choose her. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayehav HaMelech Es Esther Mikol HaNoshim, and the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she obtained grace and favor before him, more than all the other besulois. And he placed the royal crown on her head, and he made her queen, tachas Vashti, instead of Vashti. And Rashi is bothered that the Pasuk says that Achashverosh loved Esther more than all the besulois. So what is meant by Mikol Hanoshim stated earlier in the Pasuk? Zok Rashi Mikol Hanoshim Habaulois. Achashverosh loved Esther more than all the married women. She'af Noshim Habaulois Kibates. Because Achashverosh also gathered the married women. And that is why Esther could not have exempted herself from entering the pageant by saying that she was married. Because married women were also brought before the king. The Gemara asks that on one hand the Pasuk says that Achashverosh loved Esther more than all the Besulois. But it also says that he loved Esther more than all the Noshim, which we explain to mean the married women. And the Gemara explains that Esther had the qualities of both a Besula and a married woman. And Achashverosh was able to experience either one with Esther. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayas HaMelech Mishte Godol, and the king made a great feast, L'chol Sarov V'Avodov, for all his princes and servants, Eis Mishte Esther, the feast of Esther, V'hanochol L'medinois also, and he waived the taxes for all the provinces, Vayitein Maseis, and he gave gifts, Kiyar HaMelech, worthy of the king's hand. And he did all these things in order to get Esther to reveal her nationality. He made a feast in her name, Mishta Esther, but she did not reveal her origins. He waived the taxes in her name, but she did not reveal her origins. He even sent gifts to important people in her name, but she still did not reveal her origins. In Sefer Yosef Lekach, he explains that this tax exemption lasted all the way till the end of the Megillah. If you look at Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph, it says, Vayas HaMelech Achashverosh Mas Al Haoretz. Achashverosh reinstated the taxes that he waived years earlier. Also, Yosef Lekach explains that the tax exemption did not apply to the Jews,
Because the Pasuk says that the Hanocha was limedinois, to those who were part of a state, not for the Jews who were scattered throughout the kingdom and lacked a state. And that is why when Haman proposed to destroy the Jews, he offered Achashverosh 10,000 bars of silver, because he knew that killing the Jews would cause Achashverosh to lose his tax revenue. He therefore offered the 10,000 bars of silver as compensation.
Zokt Rashi Pasuk Yudches, V'hanocho lemedinois also, and he waived the taxes, L'chvoida, in her honor, Hiniach lohem min amas sha'alehem, he released them from the taxes that were upon them. V'yitein maseis, and he gave gifts, Sholach doroines lohem, he sent them gifts, all in honor of Esther. V'hakoy l'kdei l'fatoiso, and this was all to entice her, Ulai tagid moilarato, maybe she would reveal her nationality, V'yafal pikein, and still the Pasuk says in Pasuk Chof, Ein Esther Magedes, Esther did not tell anyone her nationality.
Pasuk Yotes, Uvihikaves Besuloi Shenis, and when they gathered the Besulois for a second time, Umordechai Yoshev Bishar HaMelech, and Mordechai was sitting at the gate of the king. The question arises, since Achashverosh had already made Esther queen, why did he gather the Besulois a second time? And secondly, what's the connection between the beginning of the Pasuk, that he gathered the Besulois a second time, and the fact that Mordechai was Yoshev B'Sha'ar HaMelech? And the Gemara explains that Achashverosh asked advice from Mordechai how to persuade Esther to reveal her origins. Mordechai suggested to gather the Besulois a second time and start the selection process again. This would cause Esther to become jealous that maybe she is being replaced, and she will then reveal her origins. Mordechai knew that Esther would still not reveal this information. His real hope with this advice was that maybe Achashverosh would find a woman he liked more than Esther and replace Esther. And this is what the Pasuk means by Uvihikaves Besulois Shenis. He gathered the Besulois for a second time. And this was done based on the advice of Mordechai, who was Yoshev B'Sha'ar HaMelech.
And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Chof, Ein Esther Magedes, Esther did not say Moilarata, her lineage, Ves Amo, and her nationality, Kasher Tziva Oleha Mordechai, just like Mordechai commanded her, Ves Mamar Mordechai, and what Mordechai said, Esther Oisa, Esther did, Kasher Hoysa Ve'omno Itoi, just like when she was raised by him.
Zokt Rashi, Pasuk Chof, Ein Esther Magedes Moilarata, and Rashi makes a connection between Ein Esther Magedes in Pasuk Chof and the last words of Pasuk Yotes of Umordechai Yoshev B'Sha'ar HaMelech. Zokt Rashi, Ein Esther Magedes Moilarata, Esther did not reveal her lineage, Lefi, because Shemordechai Yoshev B'Sha'ar HaMelech, because Mordechai was sitting at the king's gate, Hamazarzo, who encouraged her, V'Hamaramza Akach, and hinted to her concerning this. So the connection between Pasuk Chof and Pasuk Yotes is Ein Esther Magedes, Esther did not reveal because Umordechai Yoshev B'Sha'ar HaMelech.
And the Pasuk continues, Bayomim Ohem, in those days, Umordechai Yoshev B'Sha'ar HaMelech, and Mordechai was sitting at the king's gate. As Me'am Loiz explains, Mordechai, sensing dangerous times, left his position at the Sanhedrin and stationed himself at the king's gate, where he would be the first to overhear any threats against the Jews. So when Mordechai was sitting B'Sha'ar HaMelech, Kotzav Bikson Voseresh, Bikson and Seresh got angry at the king. Who were Bikson and Seresh? Shnei Sarisa HaMelech, two servants of the king, Mishomerei HaSaf, guardians of the threshold, guardians of the entrance to the palace. Vayavakshu, and they seeked Lishloyach Yad, Bamelech HaChashverosh, to lay hand and assault the king. As Rashi says, Lishloyach Yad, Lashkoisoi Sam HaMoves, they wanted to poison the king. And the Gemara explains what happened as follows. Bikson and Seresh were two Tarsians and were conversing in the Tarsian language. And they said to each other, within earshot of Mordechai, from the day Esther came to the palace, we have not gotten any sleep. Let us poison Achashverosh and kill him. As Rashi explains, that Achashverosh was infatuated with Esther and engaged in frequent relations with her. And as a result, he was constantly thirsty, and his attendants, Bikson and Seresh, were constantly busy bringing him drinks, and that is why they wanted to kill him. However, they did not know that Mordechai was part of the Sanhedrin and understood their language, and he therefore told Esther to warn Achashverosh about their plot to kill him. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vayivoda hadover leMordechai, and the matter became known to Mordechai what Bigson and Seresh wanted to do. Vayaged laEsther Hamalka, and he related this to Esther the queen. Vatomer Esther laMelech b'shem Mordechai, and Esther related this to the king in the name of Mordechai. So Rashi vayivoda hadover leMordechai, and the matter became known to Mordechai. Shahu misaprim divreim lefanav b'loshen Tarsi. Because Bigson and Seresh were talking in front of Mordechai in the Tarsian language. And they did not know that Mordechai knew all 70 languages. Because Mordechai was part of the Sanhedrin who sat in Lishchas Hagozes. And everyone from the Sanhedrin had to know the 70 languages. And therefore, Mordechai understood their language and was able to foil their plans to kill the king. There is a story brought down that once when Sir Moses Montefiore was visiting Warsaw and he met with the Ger Rebbe, the Chiddushei Arim, Sir Moses asked the Ger Rebbe, why doesn't the Jewish community here teach its children foreign languages? After all, didn't we see in the Megillah that Mordechai was able to save the Jewish nation because he understood the language of Bigson and Seresh? And the Chiddushei Arim answered, on the contrary, from the story of Mordechai, we actually have a proof that Jewish children should not learn foreign languages. Because in the days of Mordechai, had it been the practice of the Jewish nation to teach our children other languages, Bigson and Seresh would have been careful not to talk about their plan in front of any Jew. When they saw Mordechai standing nearby and were not bothered by his presence, it was only because they knew that we don't teach languages to our children. So we see from the story of the Megillah that the average Jew did not know other languages. And Sir Moses Montefiore did not have a valid proof to his argument. And from the posuk, Vatomer Esther laMelech b'shem Mordechai, that Esther told the king the plot in the name of Mordechai, the Gemara in Megillah Daf Tes Vav Aban Aleph learns, Kol ha'omer davar b'shem omroi mevi geula la'olam. Whoever says a thing in the name of the author brings redemption to the world. And we must understand, how do we know from Esther that there is always great reward when someone says something in the name of the author? Maybe Esther did it simply because it is not ethical to take undue credit, and therefore she said it in the name of Mordechai. And the Yarush Devash answers that according to the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni, Bigson and Seresh, who plotted to poison the king, tried to hide the poison. However, it miraculously appeared and they were caught. As the Pasuk says in Pasuk Chof Gimel, Vayivukash Hadovar, and the matter was investigated, Vayimotsei, which the Medrash explains to mean the poison was found. So superficially, Esther was putting Mordechai in great danger. If the accusation was not proven, and if Bigson and Seresh would go free, Mordechai could have been punished severely for falsely accusing them, and the anti-Semites of the country would have been let loose against the Jewish nation. Therefore, it would have been much smarter to not give over this information in the name of Mordechai, but rather Esther should have said to Ahasuerus, I heard a rumor that Bigson and Seresh are trying to kill the king, and I think Ahasuerus, the king, should investigate the matter. But she should have not have said this in the name of Mordechai, because this would have jeopardized Mordechai's life. From the fact that Esther told Ahasuerus that it was Mordechai who gave her the information, it is evident that she knew that for relating something in the name of the author, there is great schar, and it is mevi geula la'olam. And therefore, it is impossible that something unpleasant would occur to the author when the right thing was being done. And the pasuk continues, Vayivukash hadavar, and the matter was investigated, Vayimotsei, and found to be true. Or as we explained earlier in the name of the Medrash, that Bigson and Seresh tried to hide the poison, Vayimotsei, and the poison was found. Vayitolu shnei amal'etz, and both of them, Bigson and Seresh, were hung on a gallows, Vayikosev, and it was recorded, B'sefer Divrei Hayomim, in the Book of Chronicles, the Book of Archives, Lifnei HaMelech, before the king. And the Gemara in Megillah Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph says that Haman's sons were the scribes, the Seferim, of the king. And they were the ones who recorded all the events in the Book of Archives. However, since they hated the Jews as much as Haman did, they refrained from recording anything good about the Jews. Therefore, this event was miraculously recorded in the Sefer Divrei Hayomim. And that is why it says over here, Vayikosev, it was recorded, meaning by itself, not through the scribes of Ahasuerus. And this explains why when Ahasuerus ordered the Book of Archives to be read before him when he couldn't sleep, the Pasuk in Perek Vav, Pasuk Bey says, Vayimotzei chosuv, and it was found to be written, because this was something the scribes intentionally omitted, and they did not expect to see it in the book. Vayimotzei, it was found unexpectedly. Zok Rashi Vayikosev b'sefer Divrei HaYomim, and it was recorded in the Book of Archives. What was recorded? Hatoiva she'osa Mordechai lamelech, the favor that Mordechai did to the king. And that is the simple pshat in the pasuk, that the favor that Mordechai did was what was recorded in the Sefer Divrei HaYomim. However, based on the theme we mentioned earlier, that some mefarshim learned that HaMelech in the Megillah refers to Melech Malchi HaMelochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Al-Shuch explains that this pasuk is telling us that Esther's good deed of saying Davar B'Shem Omri was the good deed that was recorded before HaMelech, before Hashem. And this is the pshat in the pasuk, Vayikosev, and the good deed of saying something B'Shem Omri was recorded B'Sefer Divrei HaYomim Lefnei HaMelech, in the Book of Archives before Hashem, to be remembered in the future and to give Esther her schar.